starting wars at any cost. Just an angry fighter from when I came to you. And you sang me a song of surrender, and I felt my knees hit the floor. And you melted the chip on my shoulder. There's nothing to fight anymore. Wanting everything I don't have in the search for validation. Just a greedy martyr when I came to you. And you sang me a song of surrender, and I felt my knees hit the floor. And you melted the chip.
Jesus theme today, so we're in that vein. This next song is called All the Way Home. Jesus, lead me all the way home.
It seems so long since I first heard you call my name. Something inside my heart gave way, made me want to change. I will recall the words I said, the promises I made. Nothing mattered more when I cried out to you that day. Can you take me as I am? Can you make me like you are? I have done the best I can, and still I've got so far to go. Jesus, lead me all the way home. on the way home. But just yesterday, I thought I heard your still small voice again, silently reminding me of places where I've been. I've come so far, and every step I've made I owe to you. You've been there beside me to guide my every move. But the closer we become, the further I can see the distance from this heart of mine to where it belongs to me. Well, can you take me as I am?
Thank you. What a good way to start the day. You know, it's about as beautiful as I've ever seen it this morning with the hoarfrost out there and then to hear this wonderful music. John, you've got a new... I only thought two were coming, and now there's three. The two will become three. Would you like to introduce your friend?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
This is a very special person to me, and besides that, she happens to be a great singer and song leader and worship leader. This is Sherry Bowman, and Pat and I were kind of feeling like maybe we couldn't carry the load this morning, so we brought in the heavy reinforcements.
The lifelong
this would be a good staunch ELCA-er, so we thought we'd better at the door. So this is Sherry Bowman here to join us this morning.
Welcome, Jerry. Nice to have you here. Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, John Koziel Jr., the fishing musician, and Pat Balder. John is an adjunct professor of music teaching jazz at Hamline, and Pat is an adjunct professor of recording arts at St. Thomas. But today, more important than those small accolades, we are naming them the official adjunct professors of music in Malmo. So it's just a real blessing for us that you'd join us. Thank you.
It's our pleasure to be
here.
Thanks.
Yeah. Our theme today, when John and I were talking about it, I said, well, we're in Lent, so we got to keep up Lent. And Pat, being a recovering Catholic, said, yes, we can do this. we know Lenten songs. And so I said, and John said, well, how about walking with Jesus? And so all of our songs today have to do with traveling with Jesus. Each one of us in our lives have times when we either are close and then we can drift away, and close and drift away. And today during this worship and during this season of Lent, we want us all to come and walk with Jesus. So you'll hear in the words of the songs the references to it. You'll hear in Pat's songs references to it. You'll hear from the pulpit references to it. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. A couple of announcements. Next week, we return to two services at 8:30 and 10. 2 weeks from now, we have daylight savings time already. The winter is ending. And so next week, I'll remind you to... You lose an hour, don't you? We shouldn't do that, two worship services until we switch over. Next year we remember that. Another thing is there's a quilt. They're selling raffle tickets in the fellowship hall for, refresh my memory.
Adult and Teen Challenge.
Adult and Teen Challenge will be here worshiping with us, leading our worship the last Sunday of April. So if you'd like to support that program, that's what those raffle tickets are for. See, we're pretty close to the Catholic Church, too. We do a little gambling ourselves. John, were you a Catholic?
I was originally Russian Orthodox.
Russian Orthodox.
That's even worse.
He's right.
I want you to know we welcome all kinds into this
all
place.
Sinners.
Yes. We've gathered to praise the Lord. Let's begin with a word of prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for walking with us. Even when times we've taken off on our own, you have stayed with us and cared for us and loved us. Even when times we thought we could stand on our own without your help, without anybody's help, you have been with us. And when we have walked away, you were always there with open arms when we came back. Today we pray we might run into your arms and let you remind us of your love, let you comfort us, let you love us. So send your Spirit this morning as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn today is Just a Closer Walk with Thee, 697. Rise and let us turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in our bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. We are a pilgrim people who are called out of darkness and are walking on a path toward the light. We are a wilderness people, a people called out of slavery into a resurrection freedom.
We come to hear again that our sin is forgiven, and to worship God, the giver of forgiveness.
People of God, we begin in the name of God, our Creator, Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit our Comforter.
Amen.
Let us join in our confession. God of all people, we recognize our need for a Savior. We hear the call, but do not respond as we ought. We see the goal, but somehow remain powerless to change our condition. God of all of us, we need a Savior. We want a new spirit to grow within us and a new attitude to change our priorities. You know us as no other. We are your people. Our God is for all time and all people. Just as God called the Israelites out of slavery of Egypt, we are called to lay aside the weight of our sin and live out our lives of freedom and acceptance. We were once a people without a home, but now we know where we belong. We once wandered aimlessly through our everyday, but now we have a purpose and a direction. Praise God for our journey of joy.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of the covenant, in the mystery of the cross, you promise everlasting life to the world. Gather all people into your arms and shelter us with your mercy, that we may rejoice in the life we share in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. And sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus. Can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, and leave. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye, then go in peace and laugh on glory's side.
fly to Jesus.
Thank you for that beautiful anthem. Our first reading this morning is from Genesis 15, verses 1 through 12 and 17 through 18. God promises a childless and doubting Abram that he will have a son, that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars, and that the land of Canaan will be their inheritance. Abram's trust in God is sealed with a covenant-making ceremony, a sign of God's promise. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a visit. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Here ends the first lesson. Our psalm today is Psalm 27. We will read it responsively. And where you see the bold R, please respond with the refrain, In the day of trouble, God will give me shelter. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers close in against me to devour my flesh, they, my foes and my enemies, though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise up against me, my trust will not be shaken. One thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek God in the temple. In the day of trouble, God will give me shelter. For in the day of trouble, God will give me shelter. Hide me in the hidden places of the sanctuary, and raise me high upon a rock. Even now, my I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me. My heart speaks your message. Seek my face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. In the day of trouble, God will give me shelter. Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. Cast me not away. You have been my helper. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my oppressors. Subject me not to the will of my foes, for they rise up against me. False witnesses breathing violence. This I believe, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord and be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. In the day of trouble, God will give me shelter. Please rise for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this second Sunday is Lent, and Lent is found in the 13th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 31st verse. Neither Herod's plotting nor Jerusalem's resistance to maternal love will deter Jesus from his sacrificial mission. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, hymn number 325. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Young man tells of walking through a college which had a series of security boxes every few hundred feet. If you were walking at night, got a little afraid, you go to the security box and hit a button, and that would raise security guards and they would come and escort you to wherever you were heading. I was down visiting college in southern Minnesota, and one of those security boxes I came upon, and it says out of order, and then down below someone had wrote, "Keep running." And that reminded me that fear is a powerful, powerful emotion. I want to talk a little bit about fear this morning. It's like the story of the bishop who had an irrational fear of his legs going numb and going paralyzed. And so one night while he's at a dinner party, he reaches down and he pinches his leg and he doesn't feel anything. And he's so alarmed, he says out loud, "Oh no, just as I feared, I'm totally without feeling below my waist." And the lady sitting next to him turned and smiled and says, "If it's any comfort, Your Grace, the leg you just pinched was mine." Yeah. All kind of things that happen in life can hit our panic buttons. We've commented before on how many times the word fear not is used in the scriptures. It's one of the most common expressions that we find in the Bible. Fear not, have no fear, do not be afraid. The very first time God says fear not to anyone in the Bible is in our lesson today in Genesis. It comes at an interesting time. Abram, or Abraham as his name becomes, has just returned from a tremendous military victory over four kings of Mesopotamia. The kings had banded together for the purpose of conquest, had captured Abram's nephew Lot. Abram's not only successful on the battlefield, brings Lot back home. He beats those four kings, their armies, and he's beginning to acquire a wealth of stature in this new land that God had given him. But he's beginning to think that in spite of all his accomplishments, his heart is still uncertain. He's uncertain about his future. He's uncertain about the God who called him. He still doesn't really know if this is what God wants him to do, or this is a calling from God, or what. And as I think about this story, I wonder, you must know what that's like as well. Huh? Is anyone here uncertain about your future? Maybe even downright worried about your future? It's not unreasonable in today's world. Some of you have been saving for your retirements, saving. You know that Social Security isn't going to make it. That's not going anywhere. And so you've been saving and you've been investing, but now you see that the money market hasn't made any returns for a number of years. The stock market is wildly erratic. You can't really count on that. The home equity accounts have taken tremendous hits and still hasn't made it back for to the plus side of the ledger. And so we think about this whole thing, and it's easy to become worried about our future. How are we ever going to keep up with the pace of inflation even? You guys know what I'm talking about? Well, I won't go there. One reason Abram's uncertain was because he and his wife were childless. Some of you know that heartache of being childless. It's a very difficult human thing to go through, regardless of any time in history. But for people in the ancient world, childlessness was particularly difficult. This was a farming society, an agrarian society. Children are needed to gather crops and to take care of the animals, and children were the means of carrying on the family line and preserving the family inheritance. And even more important, not having children made people very vulnerable in their old age. They were afraid people wouldn't be around to take care of them. They didn't have nursing homes or assisted living units like we do today. And then, being childless, there would be no one to look after the funeral rites when you need them. We've got people in place who will take care of that these days, but they had no one. These rites were seen to be very, very sacred, and if your soul was going to rest in the next kingdom, your body had to be taken care of properly, and they had no one. Not having a child weighed heavily on Abram and Sarai, his wife. Huh? Some of you know their pain. Of course, some of you have children. And that weighs on you in its own way. It's not easy having a family today. A man was submitting all his information for income tax prepare. I think Jim Lang was telling me this. So he was asked how many dependents he had, and the guy says 8. And the tax preparer says, "Would you mind repeating that?" He says, "Not again in this lifetime." I mean, children are a source of many joys, but they can also lead to all kinds of sleepless nights. Huh? What kind of future will our children have, we think? Will they be safe? Will they resist all the temptations that are in the world today? What kind of world are they going to inherit? You know, it's going to be a strange and different world in another 20, 30 years. Abram's uncertain about his future. Everyone in this room, I think, can relate to him, regardless of your age or your station in life. Huh? For teenagers, it might be the uncertainty of a new school or moving from junior high to senior high or something like that. Will the student accept me? For those who are coming to the end of high school, you know, can I get into a school? Should I go to college? Should I get a job? If I try to get a job, what kind of job can a person get in today's market? Doesn't get any easier in adulthood. I was just talking to a guy who was asking, what if the company lays me off and I'm close? People I'm working with seem to get younger and younger and younger. I look around and see these young pastors. I'm wondering, do they see me as an old fossil now? You know, no longer to hack it anymore in the real parish? My family seems to, you know, is spreading out too. You got no control over them. What if I end up alone, we think? And then there comes the trials of aging. How long will my health hold out? Huh? Can I make it without being a burden on my children? Holy smokes, I better quit before I get us all depressed. I'm heading the wrong direction here. But you know what? This is life. I mean, this is real life. Abram is uncertain about his future, and all of us have been there or will be there sooner or later. Everyone of every age and station knows what it is to be afraid. We call it anxiety. Psychologists will tell us that anxiety is called the official emotion of our age today. It can be an awful emotion. Anxiety comes from the Greek word ananki. And that ananki means throat or to press together. Ananki was the name of a Greek god who presided over slavery. And ananki was the word that they used to put the rings around the slave's neck. The connection between the words ananki and anxiety are obvious, huh? Anxiety can hold us back. And anxiety can take us by the throat and chain us like a slave. We get so worried and we get chained like a slave. Other words that go to the same root word from the German is angst. It means dread. Have you ever been in a state of dread? Where you can't get off the couch, where you can't move, you can't think, you don't want to do anything, you're in a state of dread. The Latin word is angere, angst, angere. That means to choke or to strangle. And the English word that comes along with that is angina. A tight sensation and a sensation in your chest when it squeezes and squeezes and you can't breathe. That's what fear is. Fear is a universal emotion, and some people have more fear than others. I think that's what Abram was beginning to go through. Mother Teresa once told a story about a child she had picked up in the streets of Calcutta. She could tell that this child hadn't eaten for a number of days. She was hungry. And so she gave this little child a piece of bread, and that little girl just picked off one crumb by one crumb, and ate it. Mother Teresa said to her, "Eat, child, eat. You're hungry, eat." And the child looked up at her and said, "I'm afraid. I'm afraid that when the bread is finished, I'll be hungry again." As I think about that story, compared to that little girl, most of our problems are pretty inconsequential. We don't have anything going like that. You know that, and I know that. Most of the fears that most of us really have are quite overblown. Most of us aren't really going to end up homeless. At least I don't see that here in this place at this time. Most of us aren't going to starve to death. In fact, maybe it's the opposite that we should be more concerned about. Most of us aren't going to contract some kind of fatal illness on our anyway soon. I heard one of our parishioners, Wally, can I tell a story? Wally went for a procedure this week, and someone asked him if he was worried about it. Wally says, without any hesitation, "I'm listening in." Wally says, no, God will take care of me. In fact, they can fire up the crematorium. I'm ready." Wally's not afraid. Wally's a man of great faith. Wally still needs our love and hope and support and care. So, I know two ways to deal with fear. If you're afraid, I know two ways. The first is to face up to your fears. That's what researchers have discovered, and they try to deal with people with phobias. They call it exposure therapy. Carefully exposing people to the very thing that they most dread will help them overcome their fears. That's the first rule. Huh? Problem is that so few people seek help. Most of us prefer trying to avoid the thing that awakens the terror in us. We'll do anything to avoid it. One psychologist said, your instinct tells you to escape or avoid, but what you really need is to face down the fear. And I think it's true. Have you ever known someone who was so afraid to go to the doctor because they were afraid that he might tell them they were sick? They didn't want to have their fears confirmed. I've run into quite a few people like that. It's counterproductive. My advice is get into the doctor's office. You may not be as sick as you think, and if you are sick, they'll give you something to make you better. Running away from your fears is a terrible way to cope with your fears, so face it. I hate to say this because I was, and I might be wrong, but I remember someone saying to me, be a man. Well, some days we need to be a man. Some days we need to face our fears. That's the first way to conquer your fear, is to face it head on. The second is to fall back on your faith. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. There it is. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. After hearing Abram's statement of uncertainty over his childless state, God takes him outside and says, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. And the writer of Genesis records, Abram believed the Lord. This is a life-changing statement of faith. Abram believed the Lord. Do you believe the Lord? That's the question today. Do you trust God with your life? Do you trust God that He loves you and He cares for you and He'll never leave you nor forsake you? That's where the rubber meets the road. Bottom line, in every problem you ever have, in every fear you ever face, is do you trust God that He's with you? If you ever get in trouble, stop and ask yourself that question, because that's the bottom line. Dr. Thomas Long tells of a story. He was talking to a minister of the church in a dangerous part of the city. This pastor said that he was always amazed in his church. He had this certain woman who seemed to have no fear about coming to evening meetings. Even though she had no car, she'd have to walk home through the dark, through dark and frightening streets. This woman had no fear. And one night after a prayer service at which this woman had been present, the minister was locking up the church, and he happened to see this woman walking down the street and kind of holding out her hand. And then he heard what she was singing. She was singing a little song. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am weak, I am tired, I am worn. And she walked, and she talked, and she sang. Was she afraid? Yes, she was afraid. Did she let her fear defeat her? No way. She knew she had a traveling partner. No matter what the world threw her way, she was going to walk with him. She faced her fear, and she fell back on her faith. She turned to God. And perhaps she looked up as Abram did and counted the stars. Now I know those city folk don't see the stars like we do. But you might see one or two, and it might have reminded her of God's promise that God is with us, that God will take care of us, that He will always, always, always love us. And that's a good song for all of us to sing as we walk through life. Let's join in singing it now. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand.
Precious
In spite of all my doubts, you've never quit on me. I had to test your love before I could believe. Now I'll sing to all the world about the day you claimed my heart. Alone and lost, I cried to you and found a loving God. In spite of my resistance, you nudged me with your hand. Sometimes it feels like too much, and I don't understand, but I'll walk through fire because I know sometimes you lead me there. Your truth is hard, but still I know that you're a loving God. In the wounded silence of my secret shame, I spoke the words unspeakable, and you delivered me. Oh, in the wilted shadow of my darkest shame, I crawl to my unworthiness and found a loving God. I'll never be
You got another one in the hopper there, Pat? We're ready to listen. We're going to squeeze the juice out of our professors this morning.
All right, Pastor Jim, you know, you hit everything here. So we have too many songs because your theme was so right on. So there was so much content in your sermon that is relevant here, so to these songs. So, you know, these songs are journey songs, just, and, you know, when I write journey songs, it's not at the mountaintop, right? It's when I'm a little bit lower. So that's where these songs are coming from today. So this is called Guide This Burning Heart.
In the waking of the spirit, in the clearing of the mind, I wrestle with the options, and hope is hard to find. In the darkness of the hours, in the turning of the years, I traded childhood laughter and settled for these tears. Oh, for a glimmer of light to find that joy. Burning heart, the soul. truth in the unplanned destinations, in the route that was not clear. I wake up and I wonder just how I've gotten here. Oh, for a sign of your lead, a path that bears your name. God, you know
John. The congregation, please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 4. Let us pray together. God of our life and our resources, we bring these gifts with thankful hearts for all you have done for us. Bless the labor of our minds and hands. We pray that our gifts would create community and justice would be done for all people. Amen. Returning to the Lord with all our heart, let us pray for the whole people of God, the earth, and all who cry out for healing. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Give to your church rest and renewal. Even as we listen to the word of the prophets and pray for those persecuted for their faith, hear us, O God. Grant peace to the city of Jerusalem and lead all nations to care for their land and employ its resources wisely. Hear us, O God. Bring relief to polluted or burdened cities and teach us to treasure sky and sun, stars and moon, lands and rivers. Hear us, O God. Enfold with compassion all who cry out for nourishment, peace of mind, or healing. We especially remember in our prayers Ron Hass, Arlene Westerland, Dean Newman, Ruth Westerland, and all those in our lives who need your healing touch. Hear us, O God. Form us in these Lenten days to be a people marked by gratitude and generosity. Hear us, O God. Walk with each one of us this Lenten season. Allow us to experience Jesus' hurts and pains. Allow us to see Him crying over Jerusalem, His people, crying over those who are lost and need His love. We thank you, Lord, for the music today and the gift of music. We thank you for these musicians who have joined us. Walk with them. Allow them to share their message wherever they travel. And we pray, O Lord, you be with our loved ones this day, wherever they find themselves. Keep them in your loving care. As a hen gathers her brood under her wings, draw us with all the saints to your tender and merciful embrace. Hear us, O God. Hear us according to your steadfast love, O God, and in your great compassion, bring us to resurrection and rebirth in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Pat, would you lead us in the Lord's Prayer, please?
Our Father.
Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power.
Please bow your heads and receive the benediction. The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The God of all grace, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Our closing hymn is 815, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
Thank you.
Jesus' name, I've been changed, I've been filled, I've been found, I've been freed, I've been saved. In Jesus' blood, I've been loved, I've been cleansed and redeemed and released, rearranged. But how can I show you that I'm grateful? You've been so generous to me. How can I worship more than singing and live out redemption's melody? I have been blessed, and now I want to be a blessing. I have been loved, and now I want to bring love. I've been invited, I want to share the invitation. I have been changed to bring change, to bring change. In Jesus' name, we are changed, we are gold.
To bring